Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard Senior Director of Charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
All right, turn this one over to Jim Asker in Nashville this week. We've got a special guest. It's going to be the bulk of this podcast. It's Zach Williams, who the last few years has just become absolute cornerstone of Christian music. And great timing for us. He's got a brand new album out, Rescue Story, due next Friday, October 4th. This week goes top 10 with the title cut on both Hot Christian Songs and Christian Airplay. Really interesting story, too. He started fronting a rock band and then kind of re-examined his life and went into Christian music, and it's been a great move for his career. So really excited to have Jim.
Sort of a reverse Christian rock crossover, I guess. Like, you know, it feels like a long time ago, a lot of bands started out in Christian.
Yeah.
They got a little taste of success, wanted to move more into a mainstream direction. Yeah, you know, kind of most of them fizzled out, didn't make it very far, but this is kind of the nice, I guess, sort of born again story.
So, yeah, great story personally and career wise for Zach. So, we'll get into all that. And Jim in Nashville is great about getting some of the biggest names for a lot of these podcasts he's done with country stars. Christian, too. He's had Hillsong United here on the podcast, Lauren Daigle. And Lauren was on before You Say really even broke big. She'd had huge success before then, but this was before You Say became a record hit. And perfect timing for this week, too. Lauren gets a 61st week at number one on Hot Christian Songs. That ties the record for the longest reign ever on that chart in the entire history. Good pick for Jim to have Lauren on last year. Good luck, Charm.
Yeah.
A couple chart feats on the Christian charts this week. Not to ignore what's going on in the Hot 100, as we always talk about that, but you can go on Billboard.com this week. Lots of coverage.
Why are men great so they gotta be great?
Of Lizzo. It's a record week for her as well. Fourth week at number one on the Hot 100 with Truth Hurts. And she passes Cardi B. Bodak Yellow Money moves, which had 3 weeks at number one. It's the longest leading rap number one ever by a solo female with no accompanying artists. That's two in the last couple of years now. So is this just two, Trevor? Is this a trend going forward?
Well, I mean, it's always a trend till it stops, right? So it's always hard to predict. Lizzo herself, though, yeah. We'll say she's very excited about that particular angle to the Truth Hurts story. She tweeted a few things about it earlier this week. So, again, really just excited to be in that company. And, you know, she's made mention before about how she doesn't think she quite gets the respect that she should for her rap game, even though obviously she dabbles much more in singing. She also does keep, you know, I mean, there are plenty of songs on the album that are rap influenced or straight up rap track. So I think for that particular piece of the puzzle to come together with this song, it's just gotten the icing on the cake. But it seems like at least the momentum definitely is there. I know a lot of people will be, of course, looking forward to another Cardi B album, maybe potentially soon. She had a couple singles out this year. None of them quite maybe sparked the way that people would have hoped, but, you know, maybe she's regrouping and coming out with some more music in the next year. Of course, we saw Megan Thee Stallion break out this year in a huge way. People probably having an eye on her, especially for that next project as it comes through with the attention that she's gotten. And, I mean, Nicki Minaj as well, you know, even though, you know, there's much to be made of in the fandom wars about Nicki having yet to have a number one, but, you know, a huge force we reckon with. Get plenty of top tens on her career, both in featured and her own tracks. So, you know, you can't discount Nicki by any means of getting that number one. She's been close before a lot of times. I mean, Super Bass, Anaconda, she's been right up there. So I wouldn't put it past Nicki to finally get that as well.
And not to get all syrupy, but young artists, young female artists growing up, if this becomes more common, it becomes not so difficult for a female rapper to have a hit by her own. So they could really be changing things going forward that we can't even see yet.
Yeah, that's a great point, because if you look at, you know, the history of it, I mean, there have always been, of course, female MCs out there, but when, you know, people sort of want to talk about, you know, who were the ones that were up there at the top of the charts competing in the big leagues with a lot of the men, you know, the names for a while were pretty sparse. I mean, you could point, and they were sparse in a way that they didn't necessarily, like, overlap in terms of peak popularity at the same time, like we're seeing with, you know, a Cardi here and now a Lizzo and, you know, I mean, a Nicki and a Megan, you know, all those names kind of eating up the charts at once. And even, you know, let's not discount, I mean, Saweetie's out there too, getting number one on Rhythmic Radio this week. So just the depth is really rich and everybody's kind of peaking at the same time. So I think that probably helps people get really excited about this phenomenon and thinking that it's not just a, you know, a one season wonder or a, you know, a blip in the system, but actually, like you're saying, evidence of, you know, a new lane opening up in the demographic of rap that has been capitalized on in a way that really hasn't in maybe ever before, but certainly at least in 20 years.
You lied, just say to me what you want from me. Just say to me what you want from me. Hey, Panini, don't you be a meanie.
All right, one of the other big moves this week on the Hot 100, Lil Nas X. He finally has another top 10 that we can talk about. After Old Town Road had a record 19 weeks at number one, he is back in the top 10 with a new song. Well, not new, but it's been kicking around for a while, but new to the top 10. Panini jumps from number 14 to number 5. The official video came out a couple weeks ago, and then last week the DaBaby remix came out. So top 5, top 10 now for Lil Nas X, and dug into that on Billboard.com of how often does an artist have a huge debut hit like that and then get a second top 10? So I looked at artists who had debut hits on the Hot 100 as leads that led for at least 10 weeks, and Lil Nas X is the 6th artist to do that. He's the 3rd to get at least a second top 10. So he joins Ashanti and Flo Rida, who both went on to have nice runs of top 10s after their first hits. So, yeah, as much as it's obviously a huge record run for Old Town Road, it's in its own way extremely impressive that that's not all from Lil Nas X. He can follow it up with a second top 10 and, well, see where his career keeps going from here. But he's obviously proven that he's going to be smart about obviously marketing his music, but talent is there too. So good to see the story continuing, a whole new chapter for Lil Nas X with this song.
Right, because, of course, there was that sort of overarching question of, yeah, how do you follow up an Old Town Road? And you know, I don't even know to what extent Lil Nas X has, what he has to do to sort of get any song in his catalog out of that overarching shadow. But, I mean, obviously to have another top 10 right off the bat is a very positive sign. A lot of people are, you know, they're not sure. Is he going to be a one-hit wonder? Is this a novelty track? Is this, you know, he put out songs before. This one kind of caught fire through social media. I mean, we've seen people, you know, both ways. They've been able to sort of jumpstart that into something real. And we've seen people, you know, get that one hit and then fall off the face of the earth. So good for him. You know, obviously he's got a huge social media game. And I think in particular he's kind of just, I mean, even with the DaBaby remix and the video and it just the ways that he's kind of marketed the song. I mean, you can just tell he's a very smart marketer and, you know, he knows how to get the attention of people on social media and on streaming platforms in ways that I think a lot of other artists and labels and managers are probably studying right now. So it's just kind of cool to think that this 20-year-old kid out there is really upending the game in ways that, you know, people don't even think is possible. Like, you know, there's no way this one kid knows, you know, more than all these multi-million, billion-dollar corporations. And he's proven that, hey, you know, yeah, he does.
All right. It's all on Billboard.com. You can check all that out. Right now, it's Jim Asker with our special guest this week, Zach Williams, on the Billboard Chart Beat Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
There I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair.
Hey everyone, this is Jim Asker, and today we're talking with Zach Williams. Hi Zach.
How are you, man?
How's it going?
It's going good.
The album comes out October 4th.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to talk about today, but I just want to wish you, you know, after listening to the album and how great it sounds, especially after you had that awesome first album. Well, it's not your first album, yeah, but first album in the Christian genre, correct? As
correct.
A solo yeah. artist. And this new one just sets a whole new bar, I think, for you.
Thank you. That was the goal anyway.
Can you just talk about the new album and what you are hoping the fans who have gravitated to you over these first few hit singles and the first album we'll get from this new album?
I think they're going to get a lot of the same sound that they got on the first one. I think for me, as a new artist, in a new genre, it was, it's always, you know, just trying to figure out what your audience is going to be. You know, who's coming to your shows. And for me, you know, obviously, a lot of the stuff that I write about, a lot of my experiences, a lot of just life that I've lived. I've met a lot of people that have been through the same thing and lived through a lot of the same things over the last several years. And so it was nice going into this record, kind of knowing more who my audience is, who's coming to my shows, who I'm writing and singing these songs for. But I still just tried to stay. You know,
connect with your
yeah,
audience.
Don't yeah.
You? You talk to them.
Yeah, I do. And I hear their stories and I hear their struggles, and they're the same as mine, you know, and I don't pretend to have it all together or try to be better than anybody else. And so I just wanted to write a record that felt real and honest. And I think at the end of the day, if you can do that, then the connections with the songs are going to be there.
For anyone who's not familiar with the genre or doesn't really know Zach Williams' music, can you tell a little snippet of that story about,
yeah.
Because it's just astounding. I think the first time you told me.
Yeah. I mean,
you're from Arkansas.
From
you're
Arkansas.
Playing in a rock band.
Yeah. Short story is, I have an amazing mom and dad that at a very early age just really planted a seed and were really there to just kind of cultivate that seed as I grew up. They were a living example of Jesus in my life and so many others. And I think had it not been for their relationship with the Lord and just the relationship that I had with them, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. You know, I think as most kids do, when you turn 15, 16 years old, you start experimenting and trying different things and you think you know more than everybody else. And that was my problem. You know, everything I'd worked so hard to become, you know, from elementary school into my, you know, senior high school year,
I wanted to be a basketball player. I wanted to go to college and play sports. And I had a scholarship offer. Unfortunately, I got mixed in with kind of the wrong crowd and got to using drugs and alcohol, and everything, you know, in a moment was gone. I lost a Division I scholarship to play basketball. Dropped out of high school with a semester left, got a GED, and went to work for my dad's construction company. And while I was out that year working for my dad, I tried out for a junior college in Northwest Arkansas. And I made the team and got a full scholarship. I moved 3 hours away from home and continued the same lifestyle I'd been living in high school, just 3 hours away with this newfound freedom. And the day before my freshman season started, I tore 5 ligaments in my ankle in practice and redshirted my first year and taught myself how to play my roommate's acoustic while I was out that season. And from there on, it was all history. I never looked back at basketball. I wanted
to
be a musician.
You weren't depressed about sports?
I wasn't. I'd kind of lost my spirit or my drive for sports after that happened. And when I picked up a guitar, I remember for the first time, you know, thinking there's something to this that I'm supposed to be doing. And I took a couple classes in college, poetry classes, and I started writing some songs. And for the next 10 years, I pretty much carried a guitar with me everywhere I went.
So you already had music in your soul, obviously.
I did. Yeah,
kind of music did you grow up on?
Well, my dad led worship in church growing up, so okay. I was around that.
So you had that in your spirit
I
already.
Had that, you know. My dad had 2 younger brothers who, you know, I cut my teeth on, you know, Skynyrd and Allman Brothers and Bad Company and Bob Seger and bands like that. So I knew that too. And I think growing up in a Christian home where I had records from Petra and DeGarmo and Key and Milan Lefevre and Keith Green, Russ Taff, all laying around the house. And then I think for me, it all became kind of this melting pot of just all the music I heard growing up as a kid.
Well, that is a melting pot.
It is. And, I lived a pretty hard life for, you know, well over 10 years. And I met my wife in my late 20s. And at the time I was touring in a Southern rock band, and I was just living really reckless. And I remember there needed to be some things changed. And
the group had some success, right?
Yeah. You know,
Zach Williams and the Restoration, right?
We did. We had some success, but you know, it wasn't making me happy. You know, every night I'd step off stage with this empty hole. You know, just
were you doing original music with that band?
I was playing original music. We were doing some covers, but you know, I was just I was so lost, and I thought that was what was going to make me happy. I didn't realize that there was something missing until, you know, I gave my life to the Lord.
And you just packed it up with that band and went home at some
point?
Yeah,
so I was in Europe in 2012 on a tour, and I was really doing some soul searching, and me and my wife were about to get a divorce, and she was pregnant with our second child. And I remember, you know, just thinking, you know, if there's a God out there, I need you to prove it to me. And I kind of made this like kind of deal, like if you would prove it to me you're real.
Did she tell you on the phone, like, I've had it, like this is it?
Pretty much, yeah. She'd had her fill pretty much, and she was like, if you can't come home and straighten up, I'm pretty much done.
Whoa.
And so 2 days later, we're driving across Spain, and our bus driver's scanning a radio station, and I hear a song, Redeemed, by Big Daddy Weave. And, man, it hit me hard. And I remember calling my wife and coming home and canceling the rest of my shows, and we started going to church. And
just like that.
A few short years later, I was working at a church. And
what about that song just hit? It just something.
Man, it was just, there was the
like a lightning rod or something.
Yeah, the lyrics in that song just spoke to me.
And I am redeemed. Set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
I looked it up and listened to it over and over, and I just remember that was the first song I played whenever I started playing at church. And started leading worship after that. About 3 years after that, I started driving to Nashville to write music, and I wrote Chainbreaker with a guy here in town, and the rest is kind of history for the last 3 years.
As I remember, somebody came to church and saw you, though, right? From the label? Or
yeah, a guy that works at Provident. He was a producer and a songwriter. His wife's family were members of our church, and they came in for Christmas, and I was leading the Christmas service.
Did he know who you were?
He had no idea who I was. Him and his wife were trying to figure out who this tall guy, you know, was
with
playing
the,
music.
With the
and,
big voice.
And so he took me out to coffee a day later and said, man, I want to know what your story is. Like, he said, people don't sing like that without some kind of story. And I told him, and he invited me to Nashville. And I think the third or fourth time I drove over here, we wrote Chainbreaker.
Which was at number one for 15 weeks, by the way.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
On our Christian Airplay chart.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
So we're talking with Zach Williams, and the new album Rescue Story is out on October 4th. The song is already a hit, and it's got to feel great. You're going to start touring.
Yeah, we
after the record comes
tour
out.
Tour starts October 10th. So we'll be in the States. We're going up to the Northeast to start the tour, and we'll work our way back.
Your
down.
First record was on our Americana Folk album chart at Billboard.
Yeah.
And so it had that feel.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I saw that. Yeah. I mean, I did, there was a lot of stuff that happened
so
on
you
that
get
first record
calls
that I had no idea.
Out of nowhere from genres and places you didn't think you would.
It was
be
more
known from
more for me. It was more the I think the people on the labels, the staff here, and on my team were just kind of surprised at some of the things that were happening with the record that we weren't really trying to make happen. It was just, you know, organically showing up on these places. And just, you know, for me, whenever I see things like that happen, it's I realize, you know, when all this started that I tried for years to make something happen in music for myself. None of this happened for me until I, you know, gave my life to the Lord and let him kind of lead the way. So
what did that feel like when your first single hit number one for the first time?
I was driving from St. Louis, from Springfield to St. Louis, and I heard it on a radio station. That was the first time I heard it. I was actually on
tour.
That's
the first time you heard it on the radio?
That's the first time I'd heard it on the radio. Fast forward to about
quite a feeling, isn't it?
4 months later, I was on tour with a band playing two songs a night. Chainbreaker and Old Church Choir were the only two songs I played every night, and the song went number one. And I was, yeah, I mean, it was such a, you know, I mean, obviously you work so hard to get to some place, and you know, you become an overnight success in 20 years. It's kind of crazy.
I bet your family's really proud.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my parents they've always been the biggest supporters, you know. So,
Do you have any goals? I mean, do you follow the charts at all?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I watch them. I don't think now that that's what's going to, you know, it's not what's paving the way for me is having a number one. I think as long as I can continue
to
put
it kind of pays my bills. So yeah,
as long as I can put out good music, you know, connect with my fans, That's my goal.
Your first album debuted at number two on our top Christian album
really?
Chart. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So I was going to ask about goals for this album, but you probably don't think of it that way. You're thinking about how the music connects with your listeners.
I am. You know, and I think when I started writing this record a year and a half ago, January, I went into it thinking, you know, I've got to rewrite a Chainbreaker or rewrite a church choir or a song like that. And I was putting the pressure on myself to try to, you know, make all these things happen. And I remember in the studio one day, my producer and me were talking. He was like, look, he was like, man, if you can just come in here every day and write the best song for the day, the best song for the season, or whatever you're going through, whatever the Lord's speaking to you through, then that's a win. You know, he was like, we wrote 30 or 40 of these, and there's going to be enough for a record. And that's what we did.
Did you write everything on this new record?
I did. We wrote a little over 30 songs for this record.
And it's a 10-song set, right? The first full album?
Yeah, so 10 songs come out in October, and then another 6 songs come out in the spring, and that 10-song record goes away and just becomes a 16-song album.
Oh, nice.
So we kind of done this one a little different on the release, but yeah, we've got 16 songs that are coming out.
I think that's great.
Yeah, so I'm excited about it.
Can you play one?
Sure.
Can you do the hit?
Yeah, we'll do Rescue Story.
I mean, the first hit.
We'll do that. Yeah, all right.
Do you write by yourself, by the way, or do you write with people?
No, I write. It's usually a co-write. I did for years. I wrote by myself. And
Nashville is such a co-write town.
It is, you know, and I'd never co-written until I moved over here. I had hundreds of songs in my phone that weren't finished because of that. You just get tunnel vision, you get stuck, and I love the fact that from 10 to 2 I'm going to go ride at somebody's house and I'm going to leave with a demo. And you know, like I said, if you do that 40 or 50 times, there's something good's going to come out of it. So
That's awesome.
And I think it helps me to just push myself through, you know, sometimes things that I wouldn't really want to, you know, maybe go there with a song, but somebody else has an idea that I'm all right to try.
Do you always carry like a notebook around, or you're jotting things down?
I do. I have a bunch of stuff in my phone. I keep a bunch of stuff in my phone, and I have this writer program on my laptop that mm-hmm. like keeps everything, you know, organized and dated. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, Zach Williams and the single, the first single off the album of the same name, coming out October 4th, Rescue Story.
Well, there I was, empty handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. And there you were in the shadows, holding out your hand. You met me there. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You, my rescue story, lifting me up from the ashes, carrying my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You, my rescue story, and you are, you were my rescue story. You write in the pages before I had a name, before I needed grace. Oh, you sing a song to redemption, 'cause every time I ran away, you were louder than my shame. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You, my rescue story, lifting me up from the ashes, carry my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You, my rescue story. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You, my testimony. Oh, you never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You, my testimony. Oh, 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 you never give up on me. Oh, you never give up on me. This is my testimony. Oh, you were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You, my rescue story, lifting me up from the ashes, carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You, my rescue story. You are, oh, you never gave up on me. Oh, you never gave up on me. You, my rescue story.
Wow. Zach Williams.
Thank you.
And
appreciate it.
There's almost like nothing to say after that. You closed the book right after that.
I appreciate it.
That was so good. You know, I just have these memories of like the Allman Brothers cutting the Eat a Peach album in 1972. And if they found Jesus during that time, that's yeah. what that would have sounded like.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I love Greg Allman's one of my favorite singers, songwriters. So
there's a little of that.
Yeah.
And Mark Cohen.
Yeah, I would think there's a lot of that. Yeah, that, some Paul Rogers mixed in there, some Bob Seger.
I love Christian music, and I really love when people from outside of the genre, like I tell people that I know in my running community and et cetera, you know, listen, you got to check out Zach Williams, you got to check out Lauren Daigle. They don't know who these people are. Yeah. And then they come back as, isn't that great when people from outside of the genre? I mean,
yeah, I think
great
so.
Music
I mean,
is just great music.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, for me, it's a huge compliment to know that, you know, somebody that might not be in our genre, it's a pretty small genre, you know, here's these songs and, you know,
thinks they're great. Or do you have a great relationship with Christian radio?
I feel like I do. I feel like, you know, I hope so. They're playing the song, so I like, better.
When I was a country programmer, we would get a little upset back then and territorial about our yeah. artists crossing over. And I think those walls are coming down now. And, you yeah. know, I think it's great for the music when it crosses over.
Well, I think, exactly. I think for me, if the music crosses over, that's awesome. I mean, it's a win for our genre. It's a win for me. It's a win for people that don't know who Jesus is. But at the end of the day, I love being a Christian artist.
You're pretty bold about your yeah. beliefs.
Yeah, and I've been down that road. You know, I lived in, you know, a pretty dark rock and roll world for a number of years, mm-hmm. and that's not something I want to go back to. But if songs reach people outside of the genre, then for me, that's just a win for the kingdom.
For anybody who hasn't been, what's a Zach Williams concert experience like? Do you hit the floor running?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, I'm not jumping off stages, and there's not a bunch of strobe lights or anything like that.
But you don't need that.
For me, I think a lot of it's, I see a lot of it. You know, a lot of times I look out there and people are just listening and, you know, watching. For me, I just want to come, you know, be able to share my songs and my stories and my heart with people, and for them to just see somebody that's trying to be as real and as honest as they can with you know, the audience. And like I said, I have things I struggle with, and we all do.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
So do you make sure you get time to ground yourself with your family in between?
Yeah. You know, I try to, my wife is really good at it. She stays home with our kids and she homeschools. So she keeps us all grounded. So yeah. But
can you say how many kids you have?
I have four kids.
Four?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Age 20, range?
21, 16.
21.
21, 16. My son turns 10 this weekend, and my daughter turned 7 last weekend. So.
Wow, good for you. Yeah,
thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
And so your wife does the homeschooling.
She does. She does the two younger ones. The oldest is in college, and the other's in high school. So.
Yeah. Do they come out and see Dad on the road?
They do. It's funny, you know, when I first started touring on a bus, they loved it. Now that they realize they can come out and be on it anytime they want to, they not so much want to be out. They like their home, you know, their beds and their
friends.
Are
you still in Arkansas?
No, we live here.
We live in the Nashville area.
We've lived in the Spring Hill area for about almost 3 years now.
About 20 miles outside of Nashville, right?
Yeah,
something
south,
like that.
It's not far. And we love it. And we're in a neighborhood where several other families homeschool, so the kids all have friends that they. So for them, it's just, this is Dad's job.
Do they know what you do?
Oh, yeah. There's several of them that know what I do, but everybody's pretty cool, you know? I mean, there's so many musicians around now. It's not a big deal to anybody.
Everybody's got an album out, except for me.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only person in Nashville without an album out.
There you go.
You know,
you need to record one.
Once again, this album hits on October 4th, Zach Williams and Rescue Story. What kind of TV plans? Can you talk about any of that or no? Do you have anything set yet? Not really.
I don't know TV-wise what's going on.
Do you know a tour date by chance?
I do know a tour date. We're going to be at the Ryman Auditorium on November the 3rd.
Oh.
It'll be all new. I mean, we'll play 10 new songs. And
you're going to do the whole album?
Do the whole record and four or five from the first record. And
whoa, that is great.
It's going to be...
Is it just you at the Ryman that night?
Josh Baldwin.
Okay.
From Bethel.
He's
opening for us, and my band guys are going to back him on a few songs, and then we'll bring him out at the end of the night. It's...
And you're going to do the album from start to finish?
The whole thing, yeah.
I saw one show like that at the Ryman where a group did the whole album from start to finish. Yeah. It was the Dixie Chicks doing their home, their home album.
That's cool.
Which is a tremendous Americana-ish.
That was a great one, yeah.
Great album.
So yeah, we'll play all of those and some of the old ones.
Have you played the Ryman before?
I've played it when I played at the Opry. We did an Opry thing last year over the holidays around Thanksgiving, and we played two shows at the Ryman when they move it back over there for the holidays.
You enjoy your connection with country, don't you?
I do. You know, I mean, it's I'm rooted in country. You know, grew up on it.
It's only a matter of time before like Dan and Shay ask you to be on a single or something.
That'd be
like
cool.
That.
Yeah. I wouldn't turn them down.
Your voice would mesh well with them. I have no say. The first time that I talked to Zach Williams was 2017. You won. You were named our Billboard New Christian Artist and Male Christian Artist that year. And that was the very first time that I got to interview.
You called me on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, it was Thanksgiving Day. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
If my boss is listening... We work all week, boss.
There you go.
Yeah, and you were a treat to talk to, and it's been a treat to watch your trajectory, you know, from, you know, you were already growing as a star at that point. And just to hear your story and testimony and then watching your career, it's been really fun
Thank you.
To watch.
Appreciate it.
Just as a music fan. And I'm sure a lot of fans, you kind of root for artists that you get on early with.
Well, you've been a fan. I've seen your articles, so I appreciate it. Yeah.
Well,
it's cool.
You're welcome. And I'm sure there's going to be many, many more. And was this the natural choice for the first single?
I think so. I think it was for me. The title of the record's Rescue Story. This record for me was I had a year and a half to write a record, and I had a year and a half to kind of finally stop and take in what has happened over the last few years. And so the first record, there was a lot of things in my life in that season going on. There was a lot of freedom I was experiencing in Christ, a lot of chains being broken. With this record, I finally had a chance to look back to 20 years ago when I first started playing music and to see all the places that God was working all things out, you know, even when at the moment I didn't even realize he was even there or existed, you know, there was so many things in my life going on. And I remember, you know, getting into a place in my 20s and 30s and thinking, man, if there's a God out there, like, I don't even know if he could forgive me or love me for this, but just the idea that he's never will leave you or forsake you and he's always with you. I think that, you know, that explains the song Rescue Story, but it also explains this record. Like for me, there's been a season of really reflecting and just seeing how good God is and what he's, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. And that was a prayer my family prayed over me every night whenever I was growing up. It never made any sense at the time, but today it makes perfect sense, you know?
It's quite a story. Well, Zach Williams, congratulations on all your success. Congratulations on your first record, your new album, coming out on October 4th, Rescue Story.
Thank you.
And then all the twists and turns down the road. Do you still get to follow sports when you're
there? You know, all my guys in the band, they watch football. I'm not a huge football guy, but I'll root against one of the guys on the bus just to have something to do. So we've been playing some Major League Baseball tap sports game on our iPhone. So everybody's on a baseball team right now. We have something that we can turn into some type of competition. About every 3 or 4 months, we find something new to do. But I'll watch basketball when it gets cranked back up.
Be careful out there.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks. You are my rescue story.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.